Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, where former students of Baba's schools and colleges reflect on their days of learning in the divine proximity. Today we have for you part 2 of our interview with an educator from Mumbai, Mrs. Yogini Suvarna. She is in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Over now to Mrs. Yogini Suvarna of Mumbai.
So you did your BSc Physics and B.Ed, Bachelor's Degree in Education. That is about 4 years you spent. And also 2 years prior.
Yes, 6 years.
So 6 years you were a Sai student here.
Yes.
What are your fondest memories of those 6 years?
I was lucky to be in that particular batch. 88. I joined in 88, 11th standard. That was the last time when Swami stepped into Anandpur physically. That was our last Swami's physical darshan at Anandpur.
After that, no more visits.
No,
mm-hmm.
No more visits. So I was in 11th standard. So I definitely did get to see Swami in Anandpur. And see him in the dining hall. And see him in that, the center part of the college, the circular part. We have the lawns over there.
Yeah.
We had the jhula over there and we had made all those lovely, the hosiery part for the jhula.
Okay.
The off-white, beautiful cloth with hand embroidered. All the girls did all that work. The footstool for Swami, his slippers, all these were handmade by all the students. I remember because we were all part of these things, preparations for Swami to come. I was also part of the music group, which we had to sing in front of Swami. And just it brings to my mind another nice memory about how he has created a link and his confirmation that he knows I'm an Anandpur student. That particular year in which he has come, that was the only year he has come to Anandpur in which I have seen him. And there I have a photograph of him seated on the jhula. It's in my album. Now, this is something different. Now, my parents moved to a new apartment close to Dharmakshetra. It was a new apartment called Satyadeep.
In Mumbai, Andheri.
Now, it was made for all Sai devotees to come and stay. Originally, that was a plan. But eventually, other non-devotees also came in. Now, outside, on every floor, they have put one of Swami's photographs. Any photograph of his. Only a bust or a face or in the entire standing. Different photographs are there on every floor. There are 6 floors, 2 wings. Now, when I first came to this place, I was already married then. When I came to my father's place and I saw which photograph it was, it was the same photograph of that particular year where he had come to Anandpur, the copy of which I have in my album.
Hmm. And that was on your parents' floor?
Yes, that photograph is next to my parents'
door. How uncanny, yeah?
And they have nothing to do with it. This, the building people have put it, whoever has the idea of it. They have put it on all the floors.
Hmm.
And this particular thing is very important because that was the year in which Swami had first come to Anandpur where I have seen him. So is it a coincidence? Should you call it a coincidence?
It's a real God incidence.
Yes.
There's a hand of the divine, obviously.
Yes. Then a few of the small instances I have memories from Anandpur. There are so many beautiful memories because Swami used to talk to the students then. Padmaskars we had taken for granted. Every time he would go up, go down, we would take Padmaskar. We would even touch our head to his feet. And every year, either one or two saris. One sari was definitely we had during the birthday time. Sometimes it would be
Swami's hand.
Yes, with his own hand. He would just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he would walk forward. Sometimes he would walk backward. It was amusing to see how he would step on his own robe while, giving the saris. Once we had a program put up in Purnachandra. This was the program. I was just finished my college and I was just an ex-student and we had the 25th December program. It was the annual day of the messengers of Satya Sai then. And Swami was sitting on the stage. And the brown color table which was kept in front of him, which is usually kept, the discourse, mics are kept in front of him. That was there and Swami was sitting on the stage. And we were right below in that small pit. The music group was there. And I was playing the keyboard. I remember this incident so nicely. The music coming from the keyboard was so loud. I did not pay attention to it because I was quite nervous actually playing all those interludes and all those things, focusing on it. Swami looked at me from the stage He got up. He came right to where I was standing on top. He was on top of the edge of the stage and I was down. He got up, he came, and with his hand, he gestured 3 times to lower the volume of the music.
It was so subtle, so delicate. Oh my God.
Karuna Didi, he could have called anyone, any of the mic in charges who are backstage, and just told them either to reduce the volume of the keyboard, whatever. He could have done it. He chose to get up and come and tell the entire Purnachandra is full packed with people. And still he just got up, came. It made so much of meaning to me that his coming and telling me something personally. These were all these very strong connections that he has, you know, strengthened time and again. I don't have huge miracles and interviews and all with Swami. One more small incident that I must tell you is we were in the mandir. Akhand bhajans used to happen in the mandir then. And I must have been maybe in 11th or 12th. It was the early years of Anandpur. And I was playing the harmonium and singing bhajan. This was after Swami had already left back up. He used to live on top on the first floor there in the mandir. And he had already gone up. And it was my turn to sing on the mic. And I started singing Sai Om, Sai Om, Sai Om. Tanumana Praname Sai Om. And when I sang, he came out from top.
From the window of the veranda that overlooks the prayer hall.
Yes, yes. And you know where, which line he came? He came when I was singing Nayana Nayana Me Sayo. Nayana Nayana Me Sayo. You can imagine what's happening in my mind. I'm singing that line, playing the harmonium. I have to look up like this to look at him there. And he's looking at me from top when I'm singing this. Nayan Nayan Me Sayo. And for the entire bhajan, he kept moving from window to window, right up to the back of the hall, again came back, and then went back inside.
Oh, it will be such a beautiful memory imprinted in both your nayans, your eyes.
Yes, Nayan Nayan also meant my nayan, and everyone here is looking at him. Nayan Nayan Me Sayo.
It was all eyes on him.
All eyes on him, yes. It was a beautiful... Whenever this bhajan is sung, I know that he has some message for me on that particular day. I feel very happy. Some of these bhajans have long, long memories with me.
I think that's the beauty of being a bhajan singer, because you have those moments where you poured your heart out through your music and there is this visual image associated with it when Swami came or when he gave talam.
Yes. Another time what happened was we had to put up a program in front of Swami in the Purnachandra. And I was in the music group. I was to play the harmonium. And the music was not coming perfectly well. So the teacher who was guiding us was not happy with our music group. She was telling, you're not putting your best effort. And I got the butt of the firing because I was at the harmonium. I'm not taking the entire group well. The song was not coming out perfectly yet. And I got a lot of the firing in front of around 10, 12 of us girls. So I was a bit upset, quite depressed, in fact. And we were in Parthi in the round hostel there where the current Anandpur students stay.
The dormitory.
Yes, the dormitories. So we were practicing there. So she said, you all practice well now. And she left for darshan. It was time for darshan. No one was there in that entire dormitory. Everybody had gone for darshan. And only me and another girl, Kia, we were staying back and practicing to perfect our thing so that we get it rightly. And I was very depressed about the whole thing. Firstly, because she shouted at me so much. And also because I was not going for darshan. Now, after some time, one girl comes running, gasping, panting. And she comes and says, come on, come on, come quickly. Swami has started giving saris. And we left everything, we ran. We ran for our lives. I've never run like that with a sari. All the way from that...
Gayatri Mandir.
Where the Gayatri Mandir is there. All the way to the Kulwant Hall. And there were times at which I thought my legs were not functioning at all, you know. Because you're not used to running so fast. And then we were tired and we reached that place. And we reached the first pillar where Jaya Madam used to be sitting there, you know. We came and sat. By the time we were sitting there, Swami had already gone in after giving saris to everyone. Everybody had got the saris. And only the two of us were left. And we sat in the side over there. And we got another shouting for coming in late. And then we waited, not knowing what would happen, whether we would get any sari at all. Then, after some time, Swami came from there. You know, where Muni Aunty sits, that entrance. Okay, he comes.
Interview room side.
He came walking. And he came towards us, and one of our elders told, Swami, these two are practicing in the hostel. They have not got the saris. Then, I'm telling you, Karuna Didi, it is as simple as that. He could have sent someone to get the key, open the storeroom door, get the sari and give it in his hand, right? But he told the person to get the key. He walked to the storeroom door. You know that storeroom near the cooler?
At the back.
He walked and there was the other gentleman. He opened the door. Swami went inside the storeroom. And quite some time he spent inside. The entire Kulwanthal is looking at that entrance. And here we two are, you know, crouching and sitting there. And then for some time we could not see Swami. He was inside. And then he comes out with holding two saris, one in each hand.
Oh, what a beautiful sight.
Yes. And he was standing at that door. And he gestured.
Beckoned.
Yes. He gestured to us to come. And we both ran. And we knelt down in front of him. And he asked, are these the saris? Can you believe it, Karuna Didi? He has just given around 300 plus girls.
The same sari.
Some sari. And he's coming out with totally different saris and he's asking us, are these the saris? We had to say no, Swami. His choice was wrong. Then he went back inside again instead of asking someone to get the right saris. He went back inside again and here two of us are waiting out. Swami and that other gentleman, and it was another few seconds which was spent. He got another set of saris. Finally, it was the right one.
That matched the rest of the batch.
That matched. We had just seen what they got.
But good thing you got an extra few seconds with him to interact with him.
He, being all-knowing, he knows everything. And
he just was trying to, you know, apply balm on your broken heart and give you that.
Yes, that was the thing he actually wanted.
Yeah.
You know.
Special attention, little bit of interaction to heal you because you were hurting at that time.
Yes. It made so much of a difference.
Oh,
and
my God.
And the amount, you know, it was like before the lightning, you have the clouds.
Hmm.
So I had the clouds and then there was lightning. And then
there was a downpour of grace.
Yes, there was a downpour of grace. He gave those two saris one by one. He looked at us. It was so special.
Yeah.
It was a special namaskar. And only two of us were there. One after the other, he looked at us. He gave us a sari. We took the namaskar at our own leisurely time and then went back. This was another beautiful memory.
Oh, I would never forget that.
Yes.
So precious just to think that.
And to think that Swami chose the sari for me. He made the wrong choice first. And he took time to decide which was the sari he had to bring out for me.
Oh, you were very nice. I would have said, no, it's not matching, but I'll keep this. And if you don't mind, get another one too. I know in front of Swami, you forget everything. He's so loving and beautiful. All these clever tricks don't work.
Yes.
Oh, what a beautiful special sari that must be for you.
Yes. Mm. And there's another one that I would like to share. This was in my B.Ed. days. The Kulwanthal was being made. So Guru Purnima celebrations that year would not be held here. It would be held in Brindavan.
Oh, I see. Because so much of construction was going
on.
Yes,
inside Ramesh Hall. Now, we were in Anandpur in the campus and we got the news that Anandpur cannot come for Guru Purnima because there's just no place to stay. It's as simple as that. The rest of the campuses were accommodated in the boys' hostel. But where would we stay? There was no place at all. So we started our bhajans. We just knew one thing, that we could connect to Swami through bhajans. So as usual, every evening for more than an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, I don't remember. I just remembering doing, you know, bhajans. And there were many girls who were crying and telling Swami, we want to come, you know, in their minds, of course. And I don't remember how many days this went. This went on for quite some days where we were telling Swami, the days were coming closer. And we were telling Swami, we want to come to Anandpur. Please call the entire campus. And we were having these talk sessions and we were charging all the girls. And we were also practicing songs, Didi. You know, we composed songs, around 10 to 12 songs. We composed some in Telugu, some a mixture of English, Hindi, some English. And we taught it to all the girls. I was actively involved since I was a senior, most B.Ed. class was quite senior. And the entire campus was practicing this song with all fervor. And the fervor was more because we were not allowed to come there. There was no place to stay. Then finally, after one of the sessions at night, I remember, Chai Madam got a call. And then she gave us the news that we could stay there only if we could accommodate the entire Anandpur campus in the Kalyana Mandapam. The old one, not the new one. The new one is very spacious. If you remember the older one.
Yeah, it was a smaller hall.
It was a much smaller hall.
Yes.
Now, you know, when we come to Parthi, when we live in the dorms, we take at least 3 dorms to accommodate the entire campus. And this was just like a single dorm. We were jumping with joy that we were given the opportunity to come.
Or we can all sleep standing.
Yes.
How does it matter as long as
yes.
we get to go?
We told ma'am, don't think, please say yes, we are ready to go. This, she had asked us, you know, because she knew how uncomfortable it would be. We said, yes ma'am, we are ready. And the very thought that we are going to Vrindavan for Guru Purnima set us with so much joy. We were so happy. And then Jam Madam came with a list of instructions. She said, we cannot take chapels. The entire campus cannot take chapels. Because where will we park all the chapels? On this side, there is Swami's residence, yeah. Trai. It will be a big mess with so many chapels outside. On the other side, you cannot keep it. So, okay, fine, ma'am. We just need 12 pairs of chapels, one outside every bathroom. So we will take only 12 pairs for the entire campus. And we will take only 12 buckets. And the entire campus, it's like, you know, one family, Didi. It was so beautiful. We never thought of anything but just that, you know, you share everything and it's okay. For Swami, we can do anything. It was just like that. And we didn't even think that all these things mattered at all, in fact. Why chapels? Why buckets? It all doesn't matter. You just have to go. And then one more thing she said is take minimum luggage. Because there's no place for your luggage. There's no place
there's
for
no
you to
place
lie down.
For you, where's the place for luggage?
Yes. And I remember we had to fold our daris to make it one third, you know. You make it one third so that you have just enough place to sleep.
Like a little strip.
Yes, a little strip to accommodate yourself, that's all. But we were really happy. The joy that we had to just land up in Vrindavan. We sang all the way from Anandpur to Vrindavan. I think it takes 4 or 5 hours to come all the way from there. We sang all the way. We were so happy. Really, the happiness is something else. And we practiced all our songs in the buses also. And then, once we were there, we arranged everything neatly. The part which faced the boys' hostel, there was a boys' hostel on the other side. So the Kalyan Mandapam had glass windows. So we had to put newspaper on all of that because we were girls all living over there. So we had papered up all the glass windows. And in front of that, we had put strings to dry our towels and all other small, small clothes. And it was not many days that we stayed there. I don't remember exactly how many. But after the morning bhajans and darshans, we would come back. And then we would practice our 10 to 12 songs that we had practiced in Anandpur for him. And we would sing all the more loudly because we knew that
he's next door. He can physically hear the practice.
Yes. And also, there were girls who had their eyes all the time on Trai. And many of them actually saw Swami, you know, looking from there. Though it was a bit dark, but they could see actually Swami looking, you know, when we were doing the practice sessions. Then one of the days, in one of the darshans, Swami said that immediately after darshan, he would come to the Kalyan Mandapam to speak to us. You can imagine what would be going on in the minds of all of us.
All those daris, all those clothes, everything had to vanish.
Yes, you can imagine what would be going on in the minds of the teachers. Oh God, and he can come anytime.
Aye.
He said he will come after morning darshan. He can come anytime, in 10 minutes, in 20 Aye. Minutes, in half an hour, anytime. And what a frenzy it was like. What teamwork. You should call this teamwork, Didi. Really, what teamwork. Immediately duties were given. All the daris have to be rolled. And see, we cannot involve the entire campus to do this work. Because there's no time for so many people to be working together. So all the girls were asked to move out. And there were some 15-20 who had to do all the work of putting the luggage and the daris up to the wall. And covering all the luggage with the daris neatly. So that, you know, it looks neat. And then all the clothes, you don't know whose clothes are whose, whose towels are whose. You can't take them and muddle them up. How do you find them later? So I think one of the teachers had a beautiful idea that we hang saris in front of them. So he started putting saris on all of them so that, you know, it was
so your laundry was covered with
saris. Laundry was covered with saris. And the entire place was swept, like you had 10, 15, 20 girls sweeping at the same time. And it was ready. Somebody ran to the other campus. We did not have Swami's chair for him to come and sit. We didn't have a carpet. So we had to run and borrow all the things. Musical instruments alone we had, which we had got from the campus. And within moments, you should see the way it was working. Really, I don't think anybody can do it for anyone like that. It's for Swami alone that anybody can do so,
so much.
So much
enthusiasm, motivation, yes. Love. It just springs from
yes.
within. And
yes.
the outcome is incredible. Miracles happen.
Yes.
I wish we could work every single day with that enthusiasm.
True. Those memories itself, you know, keeps you going.
Yeah.
And then we were all ready. We were seated. And the red carpet was there, leading right up to his chair from the door. And he entered. All of us were sitting quietly. The music group was right in the front, close to the chair. And then he walked inside. He walked up to the chair and he sat. And he just had casual things to talk, like, what are you doing, this, that, you know, just like how he casually talks to us. And then he told us about the songs that we were practicing. He said, I've heard you all singing those songs. Very nice songs. You all are singing one of the songs, it was, Swami has the love of 1,000 mothers. We sang so many songs, Karuna Didi, but he picked up this line.
No.
You have a love of 1,000 mothers. He picked up this line from all the songs, 10, 12 songs that we were singing. And he said, yes, I've heard you singing this song. Very nice, very nice. And then whatever he was speaking in Telugu, Jaya Madam was translating to the rest of the campus in English. He was there for more than half an hour or 45 minutes talking to all of us. Then we said, Swami, we want to sing those songs for you. So he said, no, no, no. These songs are very nice. You all put it up in the evening presentation.
For a larger audience.
Yes, in the Sai Ramesh Hall. Everybody was happy except the music group.
Why?
We were not prepared for a presentation, public presentation.
Mm-hmm.
We can sing in front of Swami with our harmonium, our tabla, our nal. But when you put it up with so many devotees, the other campuses, there has to be mic practice. Usually we every time have mic practice, you know, practice mm-hmm. with the sound system. And we didn't even bring a keyboard from the campus. How to bring a keyboard? We didn't even expect that we would have a public presentation. We just had our own harmonium, nal and all the simple instruments. Then after Swami left back, then we spoke to Jaya Madam, ma'am, we don't have any instruments. What do we play? So then she spoke to the elders in the other campus and they got the keyboard. And they had to teach me how to play because I was all nervous. First of all, shifting from one keyboard to the other, you're not very comfortable. The keys are different. The way you work is different. And now you're directly giving a presentation with a new keyboard. So I learned it quickly enough. And then we practiced with the keyboard and we were ready for the evening presentation. Now, all this while, when we were practicing in the Kalyan Mandapam, the elders were seated just behind me and they were discussing who will be doing aarti, who will be giving the rose. Because our campus is doing the presentation, we will only have to send the girls. So they had decided one among the final years will give the aarti and one among the postgraduates, PGBs, would give the flowers. So they came upon my name and I was not even interested. Can you believe, Karuna Didi? Because I was so tensed about the whole thing that we have to put up a presentation. We have practiced only for screaming and singing in front of Swami and now we have to get the singers to sing on mics and we have our instruments on mics. I can't afford to make mistakes in the interludes. All those things, so many other things came up in that. So when she said, okay, Yogini, you will be giving the rose to Swami, I said, okay, ma'am, and continued with my work. I didn't even have the, you know, okay, my God.
What an opportunity.
Yes. I did not have time to dwell on that at all.
Yeah.
And it was so nice. The presentation came out very well. Swami sat through all the songs. He was in bliss just looking at us, you know, singing, listening to all the songs. And the girls also with all their bhava. This was the day they had waited for where they were practicing in the campus for so many days. You know, they were.
Now for the listening pleasure of us singers, can you just repeat a few lines from that song that Swami likes so much, that Swami has a love of 1,000 mothers? Or any other song from that collection that you presented that day?
Okay. This one was composed by our team itself. And it went like this. Mother Sai, we are forever yours. In thought, word and deed. always we are sighs. Bless us to remain forever sighs. And it had many verses. This was just one of them. If I had my diary, I could have sung the entire song.
Very beautiful. Thank you. So Yogini, I think your music played a great part in your Anandpur years, because people who are musically talented do get an opportunity to have extra little bit of attention from Bhagwan and to get closer to him, because Swami was so fond of good music and music was really a great way to connect with him, and it still is. But after your 6 years at Anandpur, you moved on in life and you pursued another master's degree in education from the University of Mumbai, and subsequently you got married, and I understand it wasn't exactly a Sai environment that you went into, and then you took up your professional life again teaching in a school in Mumbai, which is not a Sai school. How did that work out? Was the transition difficult?
It was a very difficult transition. I remember those days. Because of the Sai culture which I was always surrounded by till the day of my marriage, it dominated. I had Balvikas, we were a Sai family. Then I was in Anandpur College and always surrounded by other bhajans and so much in Sai activities, that when I came and landed in a family which did not understand the Sai culture, then I was like fish out of water. I did not know, because these things seemed too mundane to me. There were other things that were more important to me. But then the beautiful part of it is, Karuna Didi, over the years, Swami has taught me that what matters is the Sai in your heart. And then everything will eventually fall in place. And that is how he has gotten everything to fall in place. And today, even my husband and my in-laws, everyone, as before, they have always respected Swami. They definitely understand all the roles that I play today as a Balvikas teacher, as, you know, coordinator in Vidya Vahini.
Bhajan coordinator.
I am actively involved in the Sai work. And my husband respects Swami. Also, all of them know that I have taken Swami as my guru and my God. So the total acceptance is there today.
And you're a professional educator and also a Vidya Vahini coordinator. So you can educate your children whichever way you like. And yet you have chosen both your sons study here, one in the primary school, one in the higher secondary school. Why did you come to this determination?
The actual education that happens to a child cannot be done singly by a mother alone, nor can the school do it. If the child has to get the true education, the way Swami means it, he has to have a set of experiences to go through, which over the years Swami confirmed to me that this will not be possible if they are with me in Mumbai. The kind of schools in Mumbai, especially in South Mumbai, the schools are good academically and the children are fine. But if you want them to have some kind of a spiritual background,
or a value system, I guess,
a value system along with education, it would not have been easy if they were in Mumbai. Whereas those set of experiences are easily available here in the campus, wherever they study in Parthi. I call it experience because without those particular experiences, that inner growth will not happen along with academic growth. I have seen this happening when we were studying in college. Along with our academics, we had so much of time to spend with ourselves, just be with ourselves, to read, to think. These things are not available if you come to the city. If you see the mad rush in a city where the child just comes back home from school, does his homework, goes to other classes, and there is no time to sit back and think. Those are the years of growing, which are very important, which played a huge role in my life, in my, not only childhood days, even in my college days. You know, the actual growing happens when you sit back and you have a lot of time to think and analyze things and decide so many things. When there's a mad rush outside, it just doesn't happen.
And imagine the benefit of everyday prayers, Omkar, Suprabhatam,
yes,
playing in the fresh air in these amazing stadiums here, and daily bhajans.
Yes.
What an opportunity.
Without knowing, what Swami calls transformation is happening without the child knowing about it. It's over the years, only when you're out of the entire thing, out of the entire system, and you are placed in a new set of experiences and situations to handle yourself, that you realize that this past has given a very strong foundation within you, which is helping you to face new situations in life the right way.
I see. Yogini, you're actively involved in Vidyavahini. You have just the right combination of skill set and experiences yourself. You're a Sai student. You're an educator. You're a mother. Tell us about what you're trying to achieve through your contribution in that project.
Vidyavahini, for a workshop in 2010, 2nd October, there was a two-day workshop. Before that workshop, I got a call in Mumbai. And two of us who were alumni, Anandpur alumni, and also who are teachers, we were informed by elders, there is a workshop for Vidyavahini, you all go and attend it. So we did not know what Vidyavahini was then. So we just booked our tickets, we came to Parthi and attended the workshop. It was beautiful, two-day workshop wherein the entire philosophy of Vidyavahini and the idea of how lesson plans should be created ideally with the best possible ingredients in a lesson plan. So we were trained over that. This workshop had got not only teachers in it, it had EHV experts, it had principals coming from different quarters of the country, then there were people who were IT savvy, software engineers or many other people. Also there were people from TCS who had come. So it was a beautiful blend of people from different streams coming in together to create the ideal education that a child should get.
I know. Aya, what do you do in Vidyavahini? You create resources?
Right now, officially for Vidyavahini, I'm called the Maharashtra State Coordinator. Mm-hmm. It's not a very huge team right now since Vidyavahini is still in its growing phases.
Right.
So in our own small little team, we have different responsibilities for subjects. We have coordinators for translation work. There are many fronts on which we do our work where we have the lesson plans created by our team, and these lesson plans will be utilized by the teachers. The goal is to give the best kind of education along with values, along with technology, and reach it out where it has not yet seen the light of the day, the rural areas of India.
Mm-hmm.
So the best city schools have such good education. You reach the same out. Put Swami's values in them, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, in simplified form, into the lesson, into the curriculum, without shifting from the curriculum. So the school just sticks to the curriculum. If it's an SSE board, it follows that. If it's a CBSE board, it follows that. So the board does not change for the school. It makes things easier because you're giving them what they're actually doing. You're adding value to it and giving it.
That's beautiful. That's such a positive contribution. Now let's talk about, since your birth till date, you're all soaked up in Sai values, but how is your faith playing out post-Mahasamadhi? There is no physical form to look up to and run up to and ask for blessings, Padnamaskar, Sari, and come for darshan. But has anything changed in light of this new scenario for you?
Sai Ram, dear listener, you just heard part 2 of a Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories interview with a former student of Bhagwan's University, Mrs. Yogini Suvarna of Mumbai. She was in conversation with Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. Please be sure to catch the next part, same place, same time, next week. Sai Ram.